Well, welcome back for another webinar here today. This webinar was scheduled to be a how to be completely automated as a freelancer. But with something that popped up in yesterday's webinar, when we were talking about one of the things that Gravity Forms can do, I just got to thinking that if we extended that and literally built the conditional logic form that can automate and do a whole bunch of things, and you see the start to finish process of posting, this is actually something that may help you automate things and get your clients involved. But I did want to just highlight a few items before we jump into actually building the conditional logic posting solution we were talking about yesterday. Is if it's been a while since you have looked at IFTTT or Zapier, now remember the biggest difference is basically everything over here on IFTTT is going to be free, is not going to cost anything. The first three Zaps you use at Zapier are free, and then beyond that you'd have to pay. The reason why I say this is you really want to jump over and check out the updates to both Zapier and IFTTT, because the amount of services that can now be integrated, everything from your Gmail accounts to other items, to your home lighting systems, to pretty much anything that has any type of interaction with the internet, now has great accessibility. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is sometimes your clients may not use Gmail. I know, crazy. They may have just very old email systems and they're still using like POP3 emails, where all the emails still reside on the server. Well, some of the earlier POP3 email, even web clients, don't have labels and filters and folders. They just basically have the inbox. And that's where something like this, you would use a IFTTT. Like if I come over here and say, let's check services. We're going to do just email. I'm going to type this in. So what we'd be looking at doing is for those type of clients is, you know, we need to say, all right, if something happens in their email, which is using POP3, can we do something else? So in terms of doing something like this, what we would literally be looking at doing is setting up, bear with me one second. Let me just put this up here. No, I want this. Interesting. What I want to do is create my own. Did they remove that ability from IFTTT? It's been a while since I created my own. All right, well, I wonder if I'm blocking it. See, there we are. That's what we're looking for. Make your own thing from scratch. This is the area I was wanting to get to. Wow, they really hid that. Okay, so what we're looking for is if something comes in from an email, boom, send an email, and then we can do some filters. Send an email, or let's do, back this. Wait. Hold on, because that wasn't getting what I wanted it to do. All right, let's just pull up. Okay, I can't even find Gmail service. All right, well, I wonder if it's because I already have this. Okay, this is ridiculous. Marianne, you are not kidding. The user interface is so failed right now. No, did you see what just happened? I typed in mail, and I didn't even get email. I get email there, but I do not get Gmail. And I know there is a Gmail service. I know there's that. I know there's a POP3 service, but it doesn't actually show what we want. All right. Ignore. That's going to get me down into a massive rabbit trail trying to fix IFTTT. But basically, what we're trying to do is I want you to dig deep into a lot of these systems. Well, I just typed Gmail and I couldn't find it. That's how much the user interface is failing. See, I've got Gmail here. And it won't let me create my own thing. I have to go through their own system. So that's why we have to... Why would I want to visit Gmail? Yeah, no, I don't want to visit that. All right. I will put an update in the handout without spending time in that. But with Zapier, this is where we are looking for... let's see if we can just have... email. Or if we wanted to connect Gmail with, let's say, Google Drive, Google Sheets. The reason why we would want to do this is if we were making, and this is with Zapier, basically we'd be saying, okay, if this happens where we're going to grab a Gmail, what's the trigger? When we have a new email that matches the search, and again, we'd have to then create the search, continue. I'd have to sign in. I'm not going to sign in right now, but then we could say if we get an email that says support request, then we could log it into a Google Sheet, a spreadsheet. You know, there's a number of ways so that you don't lose information. So without going any further, just go back in. Those are the two big solutions. I'm going to share a different screen here in just a moment. Those are the big solutions for automating different apps, different web apps. And yes, there is the automation that you can use for billing systems. The one thing I will tell you before we build our form is if you're not already doing this, you need to be automating not just your billing system so that if you have people on regular payment plans, that you have an automated payment request or invoice or bill that goes out automatically. You don't even have to remember it. You don't have to think about it. Plus, you should have in your system, and if your system doesn't do this, you might want to look for a new system, an automatic late fee, late payment, late statement, late reminder that goes out. Billing is the number one thing that most freelancers fall behind, and let's be honest, and you don't have to raise your hand in here. I know there are freelancers that sometimes we fall so far behind in our billing that we don't feel like we should, like we just want to forget about it and move on because we're so far behind in trying to collect the money that we just decide to drop it, and then it becomes a frustration, and then we're hard on ourselves for not collecting it. So if you can set up automation in terms of the reminders going out. So that means you may need to look for a different invoicing system. If your current invoicing system does not allow automated reminders that a bill is due, you either need to hire someone to handle your billing or find a new system that will do the automated responders. So that's probably the number one thing I can tell you to automate your freelance business and make sure that you have that it's not up to you to check the calendar each day to figure out who you should bill. All right. So, because we started talking about this, and let me actually pull this information up. I need to share this page. We started talking about how Gravity Forms can do a lot of automation for you in the fact that in Gravity Forms forms, we have all of these settings that all can run different feeds. So in order for me to demonstrate everything from top to bottom that hopefully you can take and use those as automation tool tips or resources, we are going to build basically a blogging update system for our clients. So we're going to go ahead and create a new form, because the reason why is we're going to tell our client, guess what? You do not have, there's a very easy way for you to add content to a website. And we're going to make it super simple for you. So let's go ahead and we're going to do this client or owner submissions. So in this, we're going to start off with basically a very simple thing. We're going to ask the owner of the site. And again, you could do this with regular forms and then automate the whole system in terms of, you could do what I'm going to show you right now as a support request idea. And Sherry, you're exactly correct. Be very careful of automated text, unless it is something as basic as, you know, when we're talking about billing, you know, it's been 5 days since the last invoice was due. If you've already made a payment, please disregard this email. Otherwise, please pay this before a late fee is whatever. Now, if it is simply support requests, that's where we get a little bit more cautious about automating everything, unless you do something, and I know this is a bit of a rabbit trail. If you set up an email system where it's looking for keywords, let's say you're looking for a keyword for website login. And if anybody types their support request that says website login, you're going to automatically, using conditional logic, send them a reply that says, here's the five things you can do to, you know, get your login back. Now, what I would always do with that automated item is say at the very top of that email, I would say something along the lines of, we've received your support request and we will respond within the 24 to 48 hour support turnaround window. But in the meantime, here are five possible solutions that you can try based on some of the keywords in your support request. This way, it lets people know that you're not just like pushing them off to an automated system. You will respond eventually, but based on your history of dealing with support, here are five things that the client could try to recover their password, so that they can try that while they're waiting. That way you can follow up and say, you know, 12 hours later, or when you finally get into the office, you can follow up with the email and saying, hey, we got received your support request. Were any of those automated suggestions, did they work for you? Or do you need me to do something directly, or how else can I help you here? Basically, you want to automate as well as provide a human touch. Does that make sense? Nobody likes just the automated system, because how many of you call in those phone lines that says, for customer support, press 1, for blah, 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 press 3. And then you press 3, it says, please state the name of your in a few words as possible the problem that you are experiencing, and we will try and do something. So you say login problem, and then the automated response says, we heard you say blueberry muffin. Is that correct? And you get stuck in this massive cycle. So we don't want to frustrate people with automation. What we do want to do is A, allow them to hear, to know that we've received something, give them suggestions while also letting them know that, hey, we are still human here and we will follow up. And the final thing before we get into building this that I will say about automation is there to help you, not your customers. Let me say that again. Automation is there to help you. If for whatever reason, some other business guru, coach or something says you should use this system to automate the process of posting social network updates 3 months in advance. Yet for you and the way your brain works or the way you work in your workflow, it is not something that you can literally waste or spend an entire day setting up your social media calendar, because it's going to throw everything else off around you. That's not good automation. Automation is anything, well, I will say good automation is anything that makes your life easier. If a client says, oh, can you do this? I'd love to pay you with this. Can you offer that way of paying? If that makes your life harder to process that, especially if you're overseas and somebody wants to pay in a certain method, but you know it's going to require you to go through like 5 different money transfer systems to get there, and it's going to take time out of your day to do it, that's not something that you set up to, that you're going to have to do every single time you do a payment. Maybe a one-time off where you know, okay, I'm just going to deal with this payment to get it done with. Good automation makes your life easier. It allows you to get out of the tyranny of the urgent. I'll say that again. The tyranny of the urgent is the downfall of just about every freelancer, if you let it. Does anybody not know what I mean by the tyranny of the urgent? People may have used different phrases for that, but I will say most freelancers are interrupt driven. How many of you can plan your entire day and you can just sit down, do exactly what you want, and you can say, well, from 11 to 3, I'm going to do this. From 4 to 6, I'm going to do this. No. Even if we plan our day that we are going to do this, this, and this, we start our 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. code sprint, and then all of a sudden an email comes in. And all of a sudden a phone call comes in, and then the dog starts barking. And then we've got to respond because FedEx says they can't find our house, even though that house has been there for 50 years. So that is the tyranny of the urgent, because if all we allow ourselves to do is respond to the immediate, guess what? Our planned schedule for the day has gone out the window, and at the end of the day, we've got nothing done. We may have done a lot, but we got nothing done that we needed to get done. So automation is there so that if you have support requests, if we basically give the clients or the responses an automated in between, an automated response that is between when they send it and when we actually physically respond, it allows us to say, you know what? Yes, there are 24 emails that just came in from my support request area, but all 24 of them have been sent a response. So I don't need to deal with that until 4 p.m. And I can continue working on this area. And I don't have to be interrupted. Oh, guess what? I let all, between the hours of blah, 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 and blah, 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 I let all phone calls go to voicemail. Because then I know I've scheduled at 1 p.m. I will check my voicemail. So that's what I'm trying to stress, that if we think that everything has urgency, it actually doesn't. The urgency is that every day we get something accomplished. We move our business forward every day. That is number one urgent. Everything else can be put into a priority. If that is not our goal, that every day our business is attempting to move forward, doesn't mean we always succeed, but that should be our goal. Okay, that was kind of a bit of a soapbox. But hey, we're all in this together. I can't reach the internet right now. And now Google is upset at me that I won't let her connect to the internet. See, interrupt driven. I'm in the middle of a webinar and she starts talking to me. Okay. Any other questions about the need to automate for ourselves before we build our tool here? Okay. So here's the form. Basically, we are going to be creating a page that only our client or the site owner can have access to. And maybe that site owner is going to have, I'm going to give them three options. Okay. So therefore we need to do a drop down, and we're going to do something like, what do you need to do today? So the first thing is we're going to say is update content. Or add content. Let's do that. Add content. The next thing, oops, let's go to the second choice. We are going to offer them the ability to, as I said, there's a number of clients that are musicians and they have to update resume thing. So we're going to have update resume events. And the third one is support request. Okay, so I now have three options. And I'm going to update this. Everything else is going to display based on this. Now, I don't have to worry about collecting information because A, the client is going to, they have to be logged in to see the page that we're going to deal with. And so we would actually use like a members plugin to protect that area. And we'll see that in just a moment. So if our first piece of content is add content, this is where we can use that post field where we're going to drag over our post title, title of update. And I'm going to go ahead and it's going to publish after this, and it's going to use logged in user as the author. If you leave this checked, even if you have something selected here, it's not going to do anything. It's going to always use the logged in user. Now, because I have Benjamin here, if for whatever reason somebody gets in there, it's going to be Benjamin as the author. All right, so let's go ahead and we're going to go ahead and we need the advanced, enable the conditional logic. I'm going to show this field if all, what do you want to do today? Is add content. So that's the title of content is only going to be visible for that. Then we're going to use a body tag. And then, title, let's do the body tag. And we'll say, content. We'll just keep it very simple. and this is the other big thing, in the ad content, when you want it to be content, if your client is going to be literally typing some content, we may want them to be able to use the rich text editor. And notice how it's a condensed one. It's going to basically give them the bold, italic, bullet points, some quotes, some centering, a few items. You can actually, I'll show you what it fully is looks like. But the other thing is, I would make sure that if I'm doing content, we may want to give them a large size for that field size. All right, so make sure the conditional logic is there. Now, we're not going to deal with anything else because based on what goes in the title or something, because of the client, we're not going to deal with categories. Basically, it's going to go into two different custom post types based on what they put in the title. So let's go ahead and just make sure what the second one is, update resume event. So then we're going to come over here and we don't have to use the post fields. We're going to just use regular fields and allow, we're going to use the post creation add-on for Gravity Forms to map different fields to other custom post types. All right, so in this one, this is going to be event name. So we've got an event name. It's only going to be shown if update resume. Then let's go ahead and do a date. Event date. Advanced, enable the conditional logic, only show it if we're updating the resume. And then let's go ahead and I'm going to use a paragraph text and we'll call this event description. With the event description, I do want to, let's just keep it basically so that we're not going to go anything really longer than a tweet or something. And then enable conditional logic for update resume. Okay, so now we've got the other things. We finally need a support request. So we will go through here and add a paragraph text where we will simply say support requests or how can we help you today. And it's going to only show up if support request is there. Now, the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put basically a checkbox that is going to allow us to ask a question. Is this about a specific page on the website? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to add a checkbox and I'm going to say, is this support request about a specific website page? Yes. And I'm just going to get rid of those. So yes. And it's going to come over here, enable conditional logic, support requests. So now, because we've asked, let me put this back below. Because we've asked about that, we can now go over and grab the website, which will conditionally allow them to put just a website URL. Please paste the problem URL. Now, at this point, we need two conditional logics. We need one for support requests that will only show up. And then, what do you need? Is this support request about a specific page? If it is, yes. So if yes gets checked, it's going to open up the URL field. Okay, here we've got a whole bunch of stuff here. Before we go any further, let's update this, and then we'll build the back end of the content that we're looking for. Well, here, let me just preview it so you can see it. So here's the preview. Basically, we need to change this. See why? Because it's already showing the content. You may not want anything showing unless something is done. So let's go ahead and come over here, go back up here and say, choose an option below. Okay, so here we are. Choose an option below. If I want to add content, it's going to let me add content. If I'm going to update resume event, it shows that information. If I want support requests, how can we help you today? Yes, paste the URL. So see how we can start to allow the client to do a whole bunch of stuff. And we've controlled what's going on. Now, let's go ahead and put this on a client page. And we'll come back to this. So let's just go over here and say add new page. And we will call this page client control. So it'll be very easy for them to get to. We're going to go ahead and just add the gravity form for, I forgot what we call, owner submissions. Insert the form. Now, we can go through and do this, set roles and permissions. This is from the members plugin. So we could literally create a role for the client and then set it so that, all right, that whatever name, whatever role we're going to use for that client, only they have access to this one. So that's one way you can do it. You can also come over here and password protect it. So super password protect it. We publish it. And the client now can show up on their private page. So we just tell them the URL. This is where they need to go. And again, if you don't use the password, the password protect, they would visit this page. It would have them log in because they're not logged in. And then they would just get that. Otherwise, I can just use this. And so now the client, as long as the cookie that is being shared on this browser is there, they would be able to come in here and add content. All right, so that is really wonky. I think Beaver Builder. Oh no, I wonder. There's a plugin in there that's messing with the form, meaning the CSS. So there's CSS that's loading. But notice how we've got our event stuff. We've got support stuff. They're able to do all of this. All right, let's go back to the form and let's start. Before we do the form, we need to create types of updates. So we're going to have a event. So let me go over here to pods. We're going to add a new pod and we will call this events. Events. Now I know in the events we need to have, we've got the title of the event. Oh, great. One of the Gravity Forms things. I'll have to look that up. Because that shouldn't be an issue. All right. So we're going to go ahead and the things that we know we need is, okay, we've got title and content and resume event is name, description, and we can pull all of that together without having to. So we already have, if we go over to the advanced, we already have the title and the editor. We can use the title as the event name and we can use the description as the editor. So the only thing we actually have to have in this custom post type is a date field. event date. All right, so we got our event date. It's going to be a date. And we're going to save this. So even though the client could go to the events area, add new, they could go into this backend, do all this type of stuff, and they could enter the title, this. It's going to be so much easier for the client to simply use a front end ability to add that stuff. So now that I have this post, this custom post type, we can now go back to our form. Let's go back to the forms, and we're going to work in the settings. This is where, okay, so we've got our owner submissions. Let's go to the form settings and actually deal with confirmations. Okay, so the default confirmation is the text. Thanks for contacting us. We'll get in touch with you shortly. We don't need that. So we're going to change this, and the default confirmation is going to basically just let them know, thanks for the update. We will be in touch if there are any issues. If you submitted content, you should see the updates on the site already. Just refresh and check. Okay. So we give that. That's going to just be their thing that changes. But what we want to be able to do is now process the information. So if we have a support request, you know what we need to do? We need to come over here to the Trello board. Looks like I need to set up a Trello item. Generate a token. Hopefully this, can't remember if I'm logged into Trello. Nope, that's, I just log in with Google. And bear with me 1 second. I think it was another browser that popped open. So you're just still looking at this. I am just generating and allowing Trello to have access. It's generating the token. Perfect. So now we are connected to Trello. The reason why we want to do this is on our form, we got to go back to the form, to the settings, to Trello, and we're going to create a feed. And there we are. So we're going to add new. Now, before we do anything, we are going to set this feed. Well, we have to, let's just say to do, whatever, support. Yes, it is going to be Gravity Forms that is linking to Trello to do. So at this point, our conditional logic is we are only going to run this feed if what do you want to do is support request. We're not going to run this if they're adding content. We're not going to run this if they are updating events. So what we want to do is support request form title. Then description. What we might need to do is content. I'm going to change this from form title to support request : so that's the title of update. No, hold on, let me make sure my support request. Actually, we didn't have a title for this, so I'm at support request from. I'm going to go all the way down here, and I think I can get HTTP referral URL. So that's going to tell Trello from which website this support request is coming from. So on our Trello board, we're going to immediately be able to see it's this website that has the support issue. And then we can come over here and then Is this support request about a specific, how can we help you today? That's the support request. Then below that, I don't actually want content. So let me get, because that was the post. How can we help you today? I'm going to then, if they check this, it'll show yes. And I'm just going to include the URL. So now we have a Trello ticket that's automatically being placed onto our Trello board whenever a client who has their custom support area, when they click it or when they enter that. So we've handled that part of the support request. So now we can go over to the post creation. So our post creation, using the new add-on in Gravity Forms, we can create a feed that is going to say, all right, this is going to be event update. So we, what type of post is it? We actually have the event custom post type. Now I could use pods down here, but I'm showing you the way with the post creation simply because you may not be using pods. You may be using another way of doing custom post types, or you may be doing a different location. So our event, we do not want to allow comments, trackbacks. Our title is going to be the event name. The content is going to be the event description. And we have a custom field name where we are actually looking for event date. I think that was the name that we called it. Event. Oh, I'll show you why. Okay, it's not there. Let me finish the conditional logic and I'll show you why it's not there. It's one of these weird things with WordPress. Let me update this setting. Now, with our custom fields, if we have nothing, let's go back over to events. I'll show you where it is. Okay, so we have our event fields here. Now, let me just show you something that let's go over to posts. This is a little sidetrack, but hopefully this will make sense. So custom fields. Now, remember, most meta boxes are just custom fields and they're all here. They only exist here when we have content. If you've never put content in a custom field, you will see nothing drop down. So let me just do this. I'm going to enter a new one and we will call this Muffin Mania just so that it's so unique. This is the value. And if I save this, so I publish this post, again, it's going to have nothing. I probably should have just saved draft. Well, that's fine. So now we have a field here, Muffin Mania, that will, it actually won't show up here, but let's go back to our, where is it? Let's go back to the form. Going to the forms, and in that drop-down list in just a moment, you are going to see, let's go to post creation, and we're going to grab this, edit this, and go all the way down to the select the custom field. We should now see a Muffin Mania here showing up. It showed up because no field that was stored in there. So if we come over to jump back over to, oh, one second, for some reason, I think it stopped sharing. There. I think the screen stopped sharing for just a moment. All right. So we come over here to our events area. Where are my events? And we're going to add an event. This time we're going to put a date here in the more fields. testing event. This is the description, just so that we have at least one thing here. So we publish this thing. We've got a date set that's going on. Now, let's go back to the post creation. I do need to refresh on this browser page so that we can let Gravity Forms go grab all the fields again. Now, if we go down here, we should see event date. See, there it is. It now showed up. So that whole thing was to go through and point out to you, to everybody, that if you have just created your custom post type and you know that those fields exist and you're trying to map it through the post creation, these will not exist until actual data is stored in the database. So the best way to do it is create a fake post or just a temporary sample post that has all the fields filled out. Then, and this isn't just Gravity Forms, this is everything in WordPress. So then if you're using a Loop Studio, if you're using Elementor's post building thing where you can separate by certain tags, and you know there's a tag in the tag list, but if that tag does not have a post assigned to it, that tag will not show up in these drop-down lists. So we've got to have something in there for it to show up. Okay, so now because we have this conditional logic, we have now created something that when they do the drop-down, our, I don't need the event name. I don't need title of update. I just have this field, which is event name. The event description goes in the content and the event date. Update that setting. So now we have two feeds occurring off of this post. Let's go back and continue this post creation, because now what if the person is actually wanting to share content? So we need a new post creation feed. So we can have multiple feeds in the same thing. And this is going to be content update. So this is going to go to the regular posts. It's going to be published, and let's say it's going to be a standard, it's going to be a status update, because we're trying to allow the client to get used to posting without full-blown articles and everything else. And sure, we can allow comments with this. We need to make sure that the title is title of update. And content, just making sure that we got the correct one. We don't need any other fields. So we're now able to set this, but guess what? We can add in a conditional logic one, because what I'm going to do is, we're going to teach the client that if they use the word update in the title, it's going to be tracked as a status post, you know, post format. We're using a post format that already styles something in the status thing, because we'll create a special styling. If this is add content, we'll do this. And if the title of the update contains the word update, anywhere in that, we will process it this way. Now we'll go through and we will create another one. So this time we're going to say a non-update status content. So this is just going to be a standard post. And it's going to be the title of the update, the content. Basically, we're now conditional logic, because we only are adding this if add content. But notice how we're not checking the content of the text. Well, what we could do is, let's do this just so you see that it can do it. If in the content, it contains the word green, we're going to go through here and assign a tag green. Oh, will it not? Okay, well, we don't have a tag here. We would have to go back in. You get the idea. We won't do this, but if there was a tag there, we could assign tags based on what they deal with. Again, this allows us to not to have to tell the clients, this is what you need to select a category. You need to select a tag. We'll figure it out from what they type. All right. So now let's go to our client control panel. So they can actually come over here and they can sit there and add content. What do you want to add? Update for the concert. We are so happy to say the concert is a go. They hit submit. And we're going to let them know, thanks, we'll be in touch. Oh, just refresh and check. Okay, I will refresh and check by going back to the home page, and we will have an update for the concert. We are so happy to say the concert is a go. Now, this one isn't supporting post formats right now. You see what happened? We double posted. I'll show you exactly why. One of these, and it'll actually help if we look at it this way. One of these has a post format. Let's go to the different, where's our, okay, here's an article. One of these should have a post, oh, here. See this one? The first one, the top one, has a post format status assigned to it. This one doesn't. This one simply just has the regular post format standard. So what we need to do is figure out why, because it tracked it. This one is an update. We go back to the post creation. And we need to say, for the non-update content, we need to add a negative into this conditional logic. And title of update. Oh, interesting. I can't. Okay, why is it that I always do this when I'm doing live building? I always come up with the thing that breaks something. You see what it is? We need a does not contain. We need a negative. In order to do what I was just trying to say, we need to be able to say is not contained. Gravity Forms does not have that. Now, if you simply do is not, that simply is going to be is not the actual value. Like I would have to, the negative of the actual value. There's no is not contains. And let's do, I'm trying to figure out if there is a way. There's not. We'd have to add another checkbox for the client to say, this is going to be an update. So I'm going to actually send a request to Gravity Forms. And I'm going to also look and see if somebody else has created an advanced conditional logic option that would add in additional negatives or reverses. But that's why we got two. I tried to come up with something that would be more robust than what we need. And then I painted ourselves into a corner. But let me ask you this. Does this make sense as a way of basically automated, or teaching your client an easier way to deal with things. And yes, if we had, what do we call them? Events. Event. Can't remember what the custom post type of even. No, event. I don't think I enabled the archive on that custom post type. So I can't show you the events just yet. I mean, if we went to the event page here, you will see again, this is our testing event. This is the event. Now, we don't have the template in there that has the date and everything. But the whole goal for this is that you can automate the process using tools like Gravity Forms that can make your life easier, because if you make your client's life easier to have a simple little way of adding content, of sending a support request, there's just one location they go to. And if we had a support request, this is the support request. Submit. It's going to basically make a Trello board. I don't even remember. Let me open up Trello. I have no idea what's on. I selected the to-do list. I think it's my personal board. Let's see here. You know what? I hope I didn't add this to public boards, because I am a member of so many Trello boards, and I'm looking over here and did I just do something? Oh, well, all I said was this is a sample. Somebody will delete it if it ended up on their public board somewhere else. I probably should have been more careful about choosing which board to use. Well, I'll probably get an email saying, what is this? So use the conditional logic to make your life easier, to make things smoother. These are all things that if you spend the time thinking through it, you will automate the process so that you have to do less work. I mean, if there's, even if it's just you, the client still sends you content for the large articles, but how much time would be saved if you just gave them the ability to update an upcoming event and they just put the title, the description, the date, the time, the cost, and it's just going, you're connecting it to the custom post type or the event calendar or whatever it is that they can add it directly to the area. That way they can handle that. They can follow up with you. And the best part, sorry, this is the best part, I think, of using Gravity Forms for this concept. You will have a record of everything the client does. So if the client comes back and says, you know what, I tried to do something. Well, you could go back to the entries and you have a full record of the content that was submitted through your automated system. And you can say, oh, I do see the support requests you sent. Or, oh, I do see that you added an event, a content piece. And then you can check and just verify that it went live. All of that is a way of building redundancy, but also building the reliance on the client to do a little bit more without having full access to the site. All right. Well, I hope this is, I mean, this wasn't the full automated webinar that I wanted to do. I will look into updating it, but I felt going through the process of doing this start to finish. And then, you know, we left off the part about styling the front end, but that's just some CSS stuff. So I hope you have a great rest of a Thursday and it opens up the doors. Now, remember, you can do a lot of these with other form plugins too. And we're going to be covering a number of those in the future. So take care, have a great rest of the day, and we'll get this uploaded as soon as possible.